Today's message is entitled Signs Everywhere. Signs Everywhere. You know, ever since Yeshua the Messiah warned his followers that he would leave them to go to his Father's house in heaven and promised that he would come again and receive them to himself, we say that in the book of John, chapter 14, believers have asked that million-dollar question for centuries. And that question is, when will you return? And what will the sign of your coming be? You know, the very fact that Yeshua didn't rebuke his disciples for asking that question indicates that he actually approves of us watching for the signs of his return. I just want to ask you, are you watching for the signs of the return of the Messiah Yeshua? Because let me tell you, the signs are everywhere. You know, 3 weeks ago, I shared that message that was up here that vanished. That message entitled Twinkling of an Eye, where we looked at the snatching away or the taking away of the body of Messiah. That's also known, you hear it in the church, as the rapture. And I explained exactly what that was and what it was going to look like. And it was a future event where Messiah would return and take his children to be with him forever. But today we're going to look at signs everywhere and look at the legitimate, listen to this, the legitimate scripture-based signs that point to Messiah's return to the earth. And I say scripture-based because, you know, there are people who will say, oh, Jupiter is aligned with Mars. It's the age of Aquarius and all that. That's a sign he's coming back. Well, that's not scriptural-based signs, okay? Well, you know, Venus is really close to Earth, and Mars is in the orbit of Pluto, and that's not a sign of the Messiah's return, necessarily. But we're going to look at what Scripture says here. You know, the Bible gives us many examples of signs that would warn us of the coming of the Messiah. And there were four such signs that are given by Yeshua. Two characteristics of the time period preceding his appearance are given also by Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, and other events are given by the prophets as occurring prior to what's known as the end of the age. So let's begin today by looking at signs that were given by Yeshua, the Messiah himself. In Matthew 24, verse 3, Yeshua was asked, tell us, when will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Yeshua told his Talmudim, he told his disciples, to look for the following signs prior to his second coming and also the end of the age. And we're going to look at false prophets and messiahs. In Matthew 24, verse 5, and also in 24, verse 11 of Matthew, we see the following. Verse 4, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and will lead many astray. And then in verse 11 it says, then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. You know, of course, there always have been false teachers. You know why? Because that's Satan's way of distorting the truth of God. That's why we have so many cults today, so many crazy religions, so many otherisms that are out there that claim a Christian basis for their beliefs. And if Satan cannot get people to disbelieve or rebel against God altogether, he'll get them hooked on some false, crazy doctrine to lead them astray. And we see that all around us. Crazy. And who of us can deny today, as you look around all about you, that you can find deception growing stronger and stronger and more prevalent everywhere around us? It's been said that a new cult springs up at least once a month in the United States of America. Once a month. And that no matter how fantastic and how fanciful its teaching may be, or how wild its claims, there are always those who are willing to follow it, no matter how crazy it is, and be deceived. That's the reality. And again, that's the way Satan works, through deception. You know, a number of years ago, evangelists were quick to point out how Jim Jones, who remembers about Jim Jones, how he fulfilled the prophecy when he led almost 1,000 people to commit suicide in Guyana. And how the leader, a number of years later than that, of Heaven's Gate, invited 36 people to follow a comet to another galaxy. But the explicit fulfillment of the sign today, of this sign today, can be seen in many radical followers of Muhammad, believing that they'll be rewarded for killing Jews and Christians and others that they call infidels. We see that all around us, the massacres throughout the world as they follow Islam, believing that by killing, murdering, maiming, destroying life, mutilating, that they're going to get great rewards. How deceptive, how Satan works so deceivingly. But Yeshua spoke of wars also, the next sign. He said the next sign can be found in Matthew 24, 6 through 7. He said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you are not alarmed, for this is going to happen. It must happen, but it's not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom." Rumors of wars, we see it in every area of the world today. Wars going on everywhere. Revolutions going on everywhere. Uprisings everywhere taking place. And especially because we have instant media coverage and the availability of 24-hour news services, we can see these things going on all over the world. Anytime we turn on the television, we can see 24 hours a day wars and rumors of war and revolutions. Everywhere we look, it's taking place. We see among us today what's taking place in Syria, the civil wars that we had in Syria, the civil wars in Iraq that were taking place, and civil wars in Libya taking place, and so many different countries, Muslim countries around the world. What was going on in Egypt a few years ago, what they called the Arab Spring taking place all over. We see it everywhere. Instability taking place. We see in North Korea continuing in their craziness, in testing the world's response by experimenting with intercontinental missiles and threatening to destroy. And Iran is still on the brink of developing and using its nuclear weaponry and threatening the United States and threatening Israel and threatening everybody. We see in Mexico, our neighbor to the south, civil unrest. It's always civil unrest going there, and murders everywhere in Mexico taking place. The Taliban terrorists, we went there to destroy the Taliban since 2002 and 3, and they're still there. They're still there after all these years. And they're still terrorizing everyone. We see all these fringe crazy groups everywhere. Terrorist plots that are taking place in the United States all the time being uncovered. And ones you don't even know about taking place here in the United States that are stopped by the FBI and other agencies in the United States and that you don't even know about are taking place. And I think it's safe to say that this sign of the end can be easily seen as occurring even as we speak today. But Yeshua also spoke about famines and pestilence, didn't he? We see that in Matthew 24:7. It says, "And there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places." Yeshua said before his return we would see an increase of these things taking place. I think you can agree with me that sickness and disease and starvation are becoming epidemics around the world today. And the world is so, look at the world, all the developed nations of the world, the United States and Europe and so many other areas, and with all their technology and advances in medicines and the ability to harvest crops that are resistant to insects and disease and all these things, yet half the world is starving to death today with all that technology and advancement taking place. Sickness and disease like crazy. New diseases developing all around us every single day. Epidemics. Ebola that we had. That was all over in Africa. And thousands and ten thousands perishing and dying because of Ebola. And AIDS still, after all these years, still and starting to advance again. AIDS had started to decrease. But then because of the world today and people continuing in their sin, it's starting to grow again. Because they're no longer, it was decreasing, so people have the tendency to stop worrying about it. So they stop with protected sex and going back to all sorts of things again. And now AIDS are rising and rising again. And SARS and birds flu and mad cow disease and everything you can imagine taking place today. Epidemics, unbelievably. Super strains of diseases. Linda, you know in the hospital. MRSA, and what's the other one? What is it? C. diff. Rampantly going through our hospitals and nursing homes today. All around us. Super strains that antibiotics can't even deal with. We see mumps and measles coming back. Polio coming back again. It's happening all around us. But Yeshua also spoke of earthquakes. And goodness, haven't we seen earthquakes all over like crazy? And volcanoes taking place all over the world. The number and the intensity of earthquakes is at a level higher today than we've seen, knowingly have seen ever in history. A staggering number of seismic events are occurring daily around the world. And even as we speak, there's a volcano that was going crazy in Hawaii, on the Big Island, Hawaii. And right now, if you look in the news, what's known as the Ring of Fire of earthquakes and volcanoes, mainly volcanoes, all over is going berserk, crazy at this time. And we're seeing volcanoes even in Iceland, all over crazy places. What is taking place? What is happening in this world today? And look at all the crazy weather patterns that we're having all over the place. Some people think it's the CIA and all that controlling the weather. I don't know. Oh, I know. God is in control of the weather. It's in the hands of God. God blows his breath and we have wind. There are horrific tornadoes, unmerciful hurricanes. Just in the Philippines, again, we had a, what do they call the cyclone? They call it a, it was a mega one in the Philippines. What is it? Yeah, but it was a super duper one. Like 200 mile an hour winds hitting the Philippines. And we saw what happened to Puerto Rico. Remember? Puerto Rico, beautiful island, it's decimated. They still don't have electricity. They don't still don't have water. They still don't have any infrastructure. Floods all over. North Carolina, South Carolina, mainly North Carolina is underwater because of this last hurricane. We're hitting Wilmington. Thousands of streets are underwater. Thousands of homes are underwater. Floods everywhere. We see drought all over the world. Israel is going through a great drought right now. They need rain. Be praying for Israel. They need rain. Bad. Record-breaking heat waves have been recorded in the last couple of years. Look at the wildfires that we had in California. They're still going on. That decimated the forest. Not just tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of acres destroyed by fire. Thousands of homes destroyed. And in Matthew 24:8, Yeshua said that when we see all these things start coming to pass, that these signals, or they signal the beginning of sorrows. Or some translations call it the beginning of birth pains. Now I know those of you who are mothers in here know about birth pains, how it feels. Now I've never had a baby, obviously. But let me tell you what, kidney stones are awful. And when my back was out 2 years ago, let me tell you what, that was, it made the kidney stone seem like nothing. I'm telling you. Like a woman going into labor, the closer and closer she comes to delivery, the more severe the pains are and the more frequently they occur. And Yeshua is telling us that the increase in the number of disasters, things going on, the birth pains increasing and increasing, the increase in severity of the birth pains and the frequency of the birth pains that we're witnessing today are just the beginning of things to happen. Now, Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, also gave us two characteristics of what the time preceding the return of the Messiah would look like. The first characteristic is godlessness. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy 3 starting at verse 1 through 5, "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves." All you got to do is go to Hollywood, right? "Lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away." We are to turn away. You know, for any of us who watch television, read a newspaper, any of us who have lost jobs because of corporate greed and corruption, or your savings and retirements, or just walked outside the front door of your own home, it's obvious that prophecy is being fulfilled by our generation today. This is a wicked generation that cares not for anyone but themselves. And they don't care who they drag under and step on and crush. Our leaders, if we can call them leaders, most of the leaders are often corrupt. Our cities are filled with crime. You know, I grew up in Chicago, okay? I left Chicago when I was 18, and yes, there was always crime. And there was places you had to be careful that you went to. But, oh my gosh, look at Chicago. It's such a murderous place. I don't know if I can say it's the death capital of the world, but it's awful in Chicago. Our city's filled with crime, brutality, neon signs proclaiming our sinful, godless nature. We see it all around us. Lawlessness is becoming rampant everywhere we go. Bizarre killing rampages everywhere. We saw in Las Vegas, was it last year, right? We saw the Parkland, the high school, and we see it killing all over the place. Even among our teenagers, our young people, jails are filled to overcapacity with hardened criminals of all kind. And if they're not hardened when they get in there, they're hardened after a while of being in there. And then if they do get out, they get out as hardened, hateful, angry, murderous people. Drugs are virtually a staple of modern society today. And traditional families are almost non-existent. The secular humanists that teach in our nation's colleges and universities are some of the most educated and influential people in our societies, and yet they're the most lacking in any real truth. Joshua tells me all the time about the different instructors or professors in the school when he goes to it. He tells me all about that they want to revise history. Not teach it the way it happened, but teach it the way they want us to believe it happened. Changing things, revising things everywhere. Secular humanists. The second characteristic of the times that Rosh Hashanah, the Apostle Paul, gives us is apostasy, or the falling away from the faith by believers. We read in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 2. 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 2, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." This sign of deception is occurring in the body of the Messiah today, causing believers to follow untruths and fall away from the truth. Fall away from the faith. So many, quote, churches that are out there today are teaching lies and teaching deception. They're not being taught the truth of who Yeshua is, why he came, why he died, why he resurrected, why he ascended to the Father, what we are supposed to do as believers, how we are supposed to reach out to a lost and dying world, not how we are to get rich and how we are to use people. And it's not coming to a church because you want entertainment and because they have good social clubs and good sports teams and good activities and all of that, but because you want to hear the truth. You want to be enlightened by the Word of God. You want your faith increased. We don't see that taking place anymore. And it's funny, some of the most Bible-based, Spirit-filled congregations are small because people aren't interested in that anymore. They don't want that. They're looking for what itches their ears nowadays and what they can get out of it. Do you know what's happening in the world today concerning religious deception? There was an article I just saw. It was a couple years old. It says in the Church of Scotland, almost half of their ministers openly do not believe in the virgin birth of Messiah. They say it's not true. The second most senior church leader in England said that Britain can no longer be considered a Christian country. The Episcopalian diocese across the United States are losing members because of the denomination's ordination of homosexuals. And believe it or not, there are even now Baptist churches in America that are supporting homosexuals in ministry positions. You know, some are saying they take the Bible, God's holy word, seriously, but not literally. It's like saying, yeah, you know, this is a serious book, but, you know, I don't think it's literal. I don't think it really means what it says at all. Let me be clear here also that, you know, I'm not against homosexuals. I'm not against lesbians and or anything such or people of other faiths. You know, I want to love people just as Yeshua loved people, but Yeshua also had a message of repentance and following him and following his standards. The moment that the body of the Messiah or the church starts interpreting the Bible their own way to please man is the moment we have become deceived. And this is what we're seeing taking place today all around us. And churches today are becoming more and more ecumenical, universal. The universal church of God, the universal church of Christ, uniting worldwide. What is that? The worldwide, the group of churches. I can't remember what they call it. The what? But anyway, they're all becoming secular based. And they're turning in the truth of God for deception and lies in order to build unity. I think unity is important. Absolutely. But the only thing that unifies us is the blood of Yeshua. Our faith in Yeshua and what he said, what he did, and what he wants us to do, that's the unity we need to have. We don't need to have different churches come together and sing, Kumbaya, my friend, Kumbaya. I don't think we need to do that at all. But we need to take each other to account when they're deceived. Thank you, Lord. So these ecumenical churches are embracing New Age interfaith agenda, denying Messiah as the only way to salvation, saying that there's more than one way to salvation. And that's a lie. They give in to politically correct media and corrupt society. They preach tolerance and compromise in place of God's truth for the salvation of the world. And finally, there are occurrences or events given by the prophets also as requirements for the end of the age and the return of the Messiah. Many of the prophecies would take, you know, a lot of time and explanation. Some of them could be individual messages in themselves. However, I want to just list a few of them and tell you where they're found, because we can see them developing in the world around us today. In Revelation 9, verse 16, it tells us of the existence of a 2 million man army in the east during the end times. An army of that size had never existed until China's army reached that number in the 60s, and now it's even bigger. Daniel 2 explains the succession of the great empires of the world. All of the empires prophesied in that book of Daniel, chapter 2, have come to pass except for the very last one. The fourth empire is described as a redevelopment of the Third Empire, which was the Roman Empire that ceased to exist around 500 AD. But what we see today, the nations of Europe, since the Roman Empire dissolved, have now adhered to or formed one empire again, but continue as separate nations. However, today we have the European Union, which now has 28 member states, all of whom were once under the power of the ancient empire of Rome. So this is like the redevelopment or the reestablishment of the third empire that was prophesied in Daniel chapter 2. In effect, we do see a Roman Empire once again coming, but it's now 28 nations coming together. And what can you tell me that the European Union has done that is good? Let me tell you, there's a lot of things taking place in the European Union that are downright scary. Scary. Prophecies in the book of Ezekiel, Isaiah, Zechariah all claim that Israel would once again be a nation living in their own homeland when the end times are near. And this is significant because for over 2,000 years, the Jewish people had wandered aimlessly worldwide without a home or a nation of their own. Yet in 1948, the nation of Israel was reborn and the Jewish people have returned to their homeland in record numbers ever since. And this is just one more sign that Messiah's return is drawing near. Zephaniah 3:9 says, "For then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord." And prior to the Jewish people returning to the land of Israel during what's known as the Zionist movement, Hebrew was a dead language, only used in prayer books. And with the restoration of Israel in 1948, Hebrew is now the national language of Israel and spoken daily throughout the land. God has caused the language to arise from the dead and for the people to arise from the dead, for those dry bones to live once again. And they speak Hebrew, the bones. Thank you, Lord. Daniel 12 tells us that an end time, or the end of time, that knowledge and travel will increase dramatically. Billy Graham once said, 90% of all the engineers and scientists who have ever lived are alive today. Air travel, space travel, DNA research, human cloning are all examples of the rapid increase in knowledge and travel in our own generation. You know, these are just a few events the prophets mentioned as occurring in the last days, and there are many, many more signs that I could give you from the scripture, all of which are being fulfilled before our eyes today. The good news is that even though our world seems to be speeding towards chaos, nothing is spinning out of control. Instead, all the signs are pointing in exactly the opposite direction. They're all pointing to Yeshua. The Bible predicted moral collapse in the last days. It predicted the rise of Muslim fundamentalism. It's even hard to say. The collapse of communism. Signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, even the sense of impending doom that we're seeing today. The Bible predicted the controversy over Israel and even the development of the European community. The Bible said all these things would happen at approximately the same point in history and would develop along parallel lines. Because this is exactly what's happening, it proves that things are not out of control, but just the opposite. Things are in control, and they're all leading to Yeshua's return. There is no chaos. The world sees it as chaos. We see God has everything under control. There's no chaos. It's all pointing to the return of the Messiah, Yeshua. Thank you, Lord. And Yeshua told us that this would happen because he is in charge of all. And he told us that when we see all these things begin to take place or come to pass, that we should look up and lift our heads, for our redemption draws near. How often do you look up? Lift your heads, because he's returning soon. The feeling of impending doom is for everyone else. It's not for us. It's not for us at all. We have assurance of knowing that the only way to predict an event is to be in control of it. Bible prophecy proves everything is under control and right on schedule. Everything's on schedule. We have nothing to fear, people. There's nothing to fear. And we have a good hope, a great hope, in our immediate future. Right, Bob? So back to our question. When will this snatching away, this taking away of the body of Messiah take place? When will Yeshua come to take his followers home? When? After looking at the multitude of signs that scriptures give us of when he's coming and comparing them to the events that are occurring all around the world today, I'd have to say that Yeshua could come at any time. At any time, as we look at all the signs around us. Maybe before we even leave this building today. Wouldn't that be something? So my question then, as we come to the end, not of days or the end of times, but the end of these words that I speak today. My question to you is, are you ready? And that's a big question. Are you ready? If Yeshua decided to come today to take us, are you ready? Would you be one of them, or would you be left behind to face all the wrath that's going to come? And if you don't know, I'm serious, if you don't know,